With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I talked to Matt Thompson of the Amazons, and it's great. You're going to enjoy this one. Matt was at home in Brighton, and we recorded it the morning after the government have announced all restrictions will be dropped. So I guess that means that, you know, all of the guests that I've spoken to over the last 16 months, whether they be DJs, actors, musicians, producers, will mean that normal service will resume. A new, odd normal service will resume. And, yeah, I can't wait. So we touch on that, obviously, and then we discuss some amazing records. And before I get that started, a few thank yous. Thanks to Screw Pip and my brothers and sisters at the Distraction Pieces Network. Go get stuck in over there. There's a lot of amazing podcasts on that network, and I'm proud to be part of it. Thanks to 76 for producing this podcast. Thanks to you lot for continuing to like, love, share, message me, and just be really supportive and encouraging with Off the Beaten Track. Just massive thanks. You know, I presume that if you've been listening over lockdown, you've seen that the output's become considerably higher. And I've got to speak to some absolutely remarkable people that if you would have told me 2 years ago, I'd be having chats with the Foo Fighters or something that I'd never have believed you. So that all comes down to you lot supporting and sharing and just being nice people. So thank you. Huge thanks. And I guess I've just mentioned the foods there. And if you like, if this is your first time listening, I should say, then when you get to the end of my chat with Matt, go and explore the back catalogue. Because, yeah, we talk about lots of bands on here. I think we might have mentioned, did we mention it? We might even be before we started recording. We talk about Does It Offend You? Yeah, there's a great episode with Bobby that you can go and listen to. They're about to go out on tour with Royal Blood. Hear me talking to Ben from Royal Blood as well. There's an episode there. And all the others, Motley Crue, Papa Roach. Oh, God, who else? Whenever I say this, I just have the same ones just pop up in my mind. And there's 300 for me to name check. But, indie bands like Idols, Sleaford Mods, Vaccines. I've got an episode coming very soon with The Killers. And then go listen to my chats with Butch Vig, Ed Gamble, James Acaster, Maxine Peake. Go and listen to my chat with Maxine. That's one of my favourite ever episodes, as is my chat with fellow actor Joe Hartley. That's a beautiful conversation. And fellow This Is England star Thomas Turgoose had a glorious chat with Tomo. Go get stuck into them. And if you'd like to support the podcast in another way other than, you know, your likes and your loves and your shares on the socials, I have a Patreon. patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack, and I put up weekly content over there, and if you can support me over there, I'd much appreciate it. It's 79p a month. You know, I don't know what that works out a week. What's that? Just shy of 20p a week, and each week you get content, video episodes, radio shows, upfront releases, and also access to a back catalogue of a few hundred shows there that you can just go and get stuck into that have never been released to the general public. Right, I think that's all my waffling done. Everything I've just mentioned, you can go and find out about in a one-stop shop, which is offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. So go and explore that. Should we have an episode? Let's do it. Please enjoy today's episode with Matt Thompson of The Amazons. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. We are recording. Matt, how are you doing this morning?
Very well. I've had my coffee and I've shooed away a few seagulls off my roof. I live in like an attic in Brighton, and I have done for the last 18 months. And me and the seagulls have become quite accustomed to each other.
How you found the last, I won't say 18, maybe is it 15 or 16 months now? How have you found it as somebody that is a human being and somebody that is a creative?
Yeah, I think like everyone is almost, I think with everyone there's been some highs and lows, and I would say I feel very, very privileged and lucky that my lows haven't been too crazy. I think creatively, it's actually been a bit of an opportunity in terms of the Amazons, my band. We'd really finished the campaign for the second record, actually. And we'd kind of done a last tour in the US, and we thankfully got to finish all the dates. And then, you know, the plan was really to just go away and spend a little bit more time on our third record and kind of cocoon and come back as like a multicolored butterfly. And we've been given even more time, and so we've kind of, I think, in adversity you've got to try and look for the opportunities, and
absolutely.
I think we've come out with we haven't finished the record, but we've made a record that wouldn't be possible without the pandemic. And it's the most expressive work and most honest and exciting work that we've done. So, you know, every cloud, I guess, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we should stress that we're recording this the day after the government has announced that as of next week, all restrictions will be dropped, which for somebody who runs a music venue is very, very happy to hear that news. Yeah, be fascinated to see how the live music industry comes back into life. I think it's going to be spectacular to see what the bands and the crowds give back. I think it's going to be a joyous experience.
I've seen a couple of bands who were throwing out like some, you know, bar dates and little kind of club tours and stuff like that. I saw Twin Atlantic and Royal Blood recently put out some tour dates. And I think we're going to try and do something similar just because, one, we want to play. Two, we've had some festivals cancelled, so we need a bit of pocket money. And three, most importantly, we of course want to see the fans and just kind of almost be on the stage and almost like do a bit like of seeing some like crazy people watching, because I want to be on the stage nice and socially distanced from the rest of the boys in my band. And then I want to watch all these people and how they interact with each other.
Yeah.
After so much time. I just can't wait to see that. And we want to also kind of help support, the venues that we first started out in. Like, absolutely. They're the ones that have struggled the most, not the kind of more, I guess, the bigger venues have also struggled, but they've got a bit more structure and support, I guess, than like a Purple Turtle in Reading, for example.
Yeah. Track one. The yep. song with the greatest ever intro, please.
I think this could be the hardest question of all, because there's so
everyone
many
says that,
from.
Matt. Everyone says that. That's yeah. so mad.
I think it's an interesting exercise to separate what you think is the best and what is your favourite. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
because
yep.
I could just throw out, like, Heard It Through the Grapevine, Marvin Gaye, When the Levee Breaks, Led Zepp. I was thinking Audioslave by... sorry, it's early. I was thinking Cochise by Audioslave, yeah. but I've landed on Barbara O'Reilly by The Who.
Yeah.
It's funny how such a minimal arpeggiated synth can like evoke such expansive imagery in your mind. For me, this song's a real anything is possible kind of song, and it's all the more poignant now because we've been kind of quarantining and in small spaces for a long time, that this is such a transportative song. And even from the intro, it's such like a open road life song, and in a weird way, I've always had this weird theory about it, but I feel in a way that the chord progression, the melody, the lyrics of the song represent life, and then that the arpeggiated synth that runs through it and begins the song represents death. And just as death is the backdrop of life that makes it arguably sweeter, the synth is almost doing the same. It's the backdrop of this song, and it's the thing that makes everything sound sweeter and sound yeah. better. And those are piano chords that give you the goosebumps at the beginning.
Yeah.
If they didn't have the arpeggiated synth,
yeah.
they didn't have, it wouldn't be the same.
That's, absolutely.
Yeah. That's how I think about the song.
And I think that synth at the beginning is instant goosebumps. And I think because it's just excellent. Yeah. But you also know what's coming.
Yes.
And I think when you know what's coming, it's like, right, okay, I'm on for the ride now, because this is a joyous ride as well. I don't know if you ever watch UFC, but it's a huge passion of mine. And when you go and watch it, bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this. When you go and watch it live at the O2, in between the supporting card and the main card, they drop the lights in the O2. And they play Barbara O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. And then just as it's like that arpeggio, there's just all of the fighters, all the classic videos of the fighters in the tunnel ready to make the walk out. And then the minute the piano drops in and the drums, they're walking out. They've overdubbed the roar of the crowd. And then the minute you get the guitar like kind of changed, it cuts to iconic knockouts. And it's literally the most exciting thing I've ever seen in the O2. And I've seen lots of my favourite bands in there, but it's just hearing Barbara O'Reilly so loud with such... And you said about imagery, and that imagery is now stuck in my head of that moment. You can watch it on YouTube, and it's I'd recommend it. Even if you're a fan or not, it just kind of takes it somewhere else. And you're the first person to choose this, which I'm really surprised at. And you're the first person to mention Heard It Through the Grapevine, which... I'm really surprised at, because I thought both of those, when I decided to do this podcast, would be in there.
So good. And I just think with this song, it's incredible where it starts and where it ends, because they have this kind of outro that's like almost this kind of crazy folk outro.
Yeah.
And it just represents, the whole song represents. And I think, especially thinking about Townsend, had this huge idea before they did the record, had this huge rock opera idea reminiscent of like Tommy, and that this was just like one part piece of it that kind of survived the wreckage of this big concept record that you wanted to make. it just really pinpoints and is really indicative of a time in music where they felt like anything was possible. The power of music was anything was possible, and they made music to match that occasion. I guess it's like kind of post Woodstock thing, like unprecedented times, and when music was the kind of forefront of culture and the counterculture even. And I felt like across that year, 1971, when this came out, Led Zeppelin, Carole King, Joni Mitchell, Elton John putting out Tiny Dancer, putting out all these seminal records as these people who really believe. And of course, John Lennon with Imagine, these people truly believe in the power of music and that there is no ceiling to it, and they're making music accordingly. And I feel like that's a really special time in music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take you back for track two. And I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
This was an interesting one. I remember, actually, a lot of my formative years when I was a child coming back from school, I watched a lot of TMF and the Hits. These were music channels in the UK when you didn't have a Skybox, which gave you, like, MTV and things like that. I got my parents kind of own it. We only really pushed it as far as a digibox, so we had like two channels which I flicked through. And the song is Where Is the Love by the Black Peas. The Black Eyed. So I actually can't speak this morning. I just woke up. Where Is the Love by the Black Eyed Peas?
That's the one.
Yes.
And so what was the emotion that you got from hearing that?
It's an interesting one. I guess it's a kind of sadness in a way, because it's a fairly upbeat song, but it was just at a time when I was really cottoning on that about the more dark elements of the human experience in a weird way. So this 2003, I would have been 10 at the time, just about to start secondary school. High school in the UK, and I think with like the Iraq war, and it was post 9/11, and I'd just come back from a family holiday in Florida, where I'd had one day we'd had such an amazing time that when I was going to sleep one night, I like kind of realized that it was going to end. Some point I was just slapped around the face with like the finality of life, and I spent all night just crying with my mum. and this song just kind of, it was like, maybe the humans aren't good. It's like people killing people, dying, practice what you preach, turn the other cheek. It was like, oh my, I had this weird feeling as a 10-year-old watching this music video with the Black Eyed Peas singing Where Is the Love. I was like, wow, it's like, are we at the end of the world? I felt like we were at the end of the world. And I don't know what the emotion is, except from 10-year-old existential dread, but that it had a real effect on me. It really did. It just summed up a time in my childhood where I was kind of almost cottoning on. It was, it's a weird one.
And where was that childhood?
I grew up in Reading, Berkshire, which I've kind of always thought is kind of a little bit of, it's kind of everywhere and nowhere at the same time. It looks like any other town, suburban town in the UK, but it's also not necessarily a cultural hub. Good people, I can't fault it, because if anything, it's a blank. I've actually looked at it creatively more as a blank canvas. There's no, there's not that much precedent. And we're not, in terms of like, we're not coming from London or Manchester where there was any scene that we had to kind of almost tackle and feel like we fit in or were outside of it. With Reading, it was just, it's almost not a lot going on. So it was just the world's your oyster. It's anywhere and everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
It was a happy place to grow up.
Yeah, definitely. It was a really good place to grow up, and I think my parents, I can't, you know, looking, I think as we get older, we kind of become more reflective and more understanding of where we come from. And we even actually probably are more interested in where we come from because it kind of, because we're wondering about where we're going a bit more. But I think my parents and where I came from and stuff, it just gave me space to grow and become and make mistakes, you know, a lot of fashion related mistakes and a lot of not music mistakes, because that's never, you know, music taste is never a mistake, but they gave me a lot of space to grow and gave me a lot of confidence to do what I wanted to do, which is be a lead singer and a songwriter and in a rock and roll band.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, let's stay in the formative years for track three, and I'm going to ask you to tell me the song reminds you of your time at school, please.
Rebellion Lies by Arcade Fire.
I mean, that's a record, right?
Yeah, it's still amazing. It kind of scary how long ago it came out, really. Mm. My first ever Reading and Leeds Festival was 2007. I went on the Friday with my mum. And
I mean, that's a cool mum, right?
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, she's amazing. She's up for anything. And yeah, she took me. We had an amazing time. And then on the Saturday, it was all sold out. And I was only going to go on the one day. Yeah, we just spent the day watching on TV. And then I had no idea who RK Fire were, but they were on TV, and it was this kind of noise kind of soundscape that they were making before they get launched into Rebellion Lies. It's basically like a big old noisy transition where there's like 20 people on, no, there's like 13 people on stage, all just playing whatever, and it made this huge cacophonous sound, and then the bass kind of like pokes through, and then it's amazing. And I was like, transfixed. I was enchanted. It ticked all the boxes ever. It was so, I mean, you know, I was a teenager at the time, and I'd kind of just gone out of like a metal phase, and which was kind of really, I just loved the energy. But there was this band with who had all the energy in the world, and it was heart on sleeve, and it was anthemic, and it was kind of reminiscent of the Bruce Springsteen and Bowie records that my parents were playing anyway. So I wasn't completely unfamiliar with the sound, but they were my band, and my parents didn't know them, and I knew them, and that was it, really. And and my parents actually queued up early on the Sunday morning to get me a day ticket, so I could go on the Sunday, and it was just the best weekend ever.
Listen up, I've only got another new sponsor. Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throw in a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humor in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Before we talk more about school, tell me about the sort of records that you was being exposed to at home. You touched on Springsteen there.
Yeah, it was the Greatest Hits. It was the Greatest Hits CD that he put out in the 90s. It's him with his back against... with just his back and the leather jacket with the Telecaster. And a lot of that. There was a moment when I was very, very young and I kind of cottoned on that it wasn't actually Springsteen when you put the CD in. I had these like strange images of like Springsteen, a really tired and disheveled Springsteen, basically playing the music somewhere in the world. I kind of maybe couldn't tell the difference between radio and CDs. So yeah. I felt like you put a CD in and somewhere Springsteen gets the red light and he plays the song. But then I realised
Wouldn't that be magical?
Yeah, that would be amazing. But yeah, I cottoned on pretty early on. And what else do we... I mean, mum was Elvis Costello, Luther Vandross, Bruce Springsteen, Bowie, Simply Red, a healthy... dose of Simply Red, a lot of that. And then dad was Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and then some really we used to as a family go to this festival in Reading called WOMAD, World of Music and Dance.
Yeah. And it was like huge for years, wasn't it, WOMAD festival?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And same place that they were doing Reading, but big into like world music. So he would kind of, every year we'd have a family car CD that was got, that he'd kind of an act that he'd seen. So one was called One Giant Leap, Go Town Project. So a lot of like world music as well, a lot of Santana, all sorts, eclectic.
What an amazing mix of music to get brought up listening to.
Yeah, I know, weird now. And he also loved Pink. So we listened to loads of Pink. I don't know. And Stiff Little Fingers, you know, the Northern Irish punk band.
Incredible, yeah.
Erratic and crazy mix of stuff. Yeah, no, I think parents actually now look back have always been open and they've always searched for new music and new sounds. I think they've always loved that and I think I get that from them.
And so just touching on school, like, how was that as an experience for you?
It's a weird one. I have an American girlfriend and I now kind of talking about our kind of secondary school experiences, they're so different. I don't know if there's that kind of loyalty or pride in terms of or identity that maybe American high schools have. That in England, I quite liked school. I guess I liked the structure. I liked the social side of it. I think I was never a badly behaved student. It was more just I couldn't stop talking. That was literally the big. If I ever got sent out of class, it was because I'd turned around and I'd been asked to turn. Concentrate on my work, but I'd be turned around talking to people. I like that. I've actually got the same group of friends. There's four friends, one of whom is Chris, our guitarist. There's four of us, four guys that have been friends since, you know, when we were 11 years old, and we're going to go on a stag do at the end of the month. And it was like, crap, we've been together. It's almost just like, for like 15 plus years now. It's kind of crazy. But I kind of liked school. It was okay. But I'm a little bit mistrusting of people who say that school was the best time of their lives. And I, especially with secondary school, because I feel like life kind of began when I left secondary school.
Definitely. I agree.
It's kind of put on hold a little bit. And but yeah, I mean, was in loads of little bands and stuff in secondary school. And yeah, can't fault it.
So was it in your head already at that point that you wanted to do something with your music?
Yeah, I think I also don't really, I can't relate to people who fell into music or didn't know they wanted to be a musician. I've wanted to be a rock star since I was 11, maybe earlier. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. That or play for Newcastle United. And
everyone says that. What is it with musicians that if they're not musicians, they wanted to be footballers?
Yeah.
Everyone says that. It's so mad.
Because we all want... There's one similarity in that there's tens of thousands of people screaming your name.
Yeah. Yeah. Was you a confident kid then?
In the right... You know what? It's in the right company... I was very confident. If I felt in a comfortable situation with the people around me, then yeah, really, really confident, very chatty, probably quite annoying at times, very impulsive socially. Yeah, I think so. I mean, at the beginning of my school time, when I was, you know, in the bottom of the pecking order, it's year 7, 8, 9, up to about being 15 or 16, I think my hair... Being a ginger redheaded kid was an issue. There was definitely, it wasn't, I didn't have like a specific bully that I was kind of picked on. It was just a kind of low hum of, being picked on by everyone, really. Not woe is me, it was just kind of, just stuff thrown at you all the time. So I feel bad for, I don't know what it's like in school now, but it's definitely a cruel place. English secondary schools can be extremely cruel. But I don't think I've been... It's not negatively affected my life that much. It was quite a short space of time. But then you become one of the big kids, so it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
But maybe a thick skin was developed with that, I think. Yeah.
I think in secondary schools, generally, I think you have to. I think it's... You know, I totally agree with what you say about people that say secondary school was the greatest years of their life. I mean, fucking hell, have a word with yourself. What have you done since? Like, what the hell was you doing? Chances are, if you was having a great time at school, it was probably at somebody else's detriment.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, track 4.
Okay.
First song you remember buying from a record store?
I think it's hard. It wasn't a specific. I know singles were a big time back in the day. Big thing. Sorry, back in the day. But I got an album. It was Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory. It was purely because my mum didn't like the cover of one of these. It was a Sum 41 record, and it was them like pulling faces on the front, and she was like, "No, no, you can't have that." And I believe it was Woolworths. So I was like, "Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory," and she was like, "Yep, sweet." Little did she know the music was way harder, darker. And I remember actually playing it a lot. And my dad came in and he sat down with me and he was like, "Oh, Matt, you've been listening to this a lot. Do you think they're angry about something?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." And we just kind of almost like talked about the lyrical subjects, I guess, because I think. I don't know. I actually can't remember much more about it except from just that initial, "Do you think they're angry?"
That's him so just cool hearing, though, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. But I kind of almost didn't cotton on to them being angry about for any specific reason. It was just, that age, I think young boys are just so attracted and it's to the energy of these records. So from Linkin Park, it was Slipknot, it was... Trivium, it was anything that was just unbridled energy that I could just stick on the CD player when I got home and just go crazy, basically. it's such like a cliche kind of phase, like teenage boy comes home from school, plays People Equal Shit by Slipknot extremely fucking loud.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think when I was about 13, the Beastie Boys dropped License to Ill, and it was exactly the same. It was like, This is hard and raucous and angry. And
yes,
that's what 13-year-old boys want.
It's so true. Rage Against the Machine was a big one as well. Fuck You, I Won't Do What You Tell Me. Like, daily, all the time.
Yeah.
Just as loud as possible.
did your dad walk in and kind of question the lyrics to that? Because they're really angry.
yeah, they are. I don't remember a specific memory about that. I do remember being in a friend's family car and we had Rage Against the Machine on, and his dad like turned around like, Sam, what are we listening to? And we go, yes, come on. So cool.
It's so strange. It's like if we use, let's talk about Killing in the Name.
Yep.
And I've DJed in my venue for since 1991, cool. Which I believe was the year that record dropped. And the reaction when I first played that 30 years ago is the same reaction it gets from 18-year-old students that come to my club, that will be coming back to my club next Friday,
that
will have exactly the same response. That song has not dated in any way, shape, or form, sonically, lyrically, in anything. It still sounds vital. It still sounds fresh. It still has everything it ever had about it. And I think it's just more people know it now, which is glorious.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing,
then,
isn't it?
You know, and it was one of the regulars at my club, John Mortar, that went, I'm going to do this thing with this record, and I'm going to see if I can get it to the Christmas number one and topple the X Factor.
Wow.
And I don't know if that was before
that was
your
an
time.
Amazing time. No, I remember it. And they played like, did they play on Five
Finsbury
Live?
Park.
And they played on the radio.
Yeah.
They're like,
they
don't swear. And
they
fucking swore. Yeah. They went nuts. That's so cool.
I heard a really weird story. I don't know how true this is.
Okay.
I hope it's true.
But
I heard a story that involves Arcade Fire and Rage.
Wow.
And it was at one festival in the States. And apparently there was some kind of thing that when Rage walked to the stage past the dressing rooms, they didn't want anyone bothering them. They didn't want anyone trying to talk to them or anything like that. And rumour has it, as they made the walk, Arcade Fire undone their door and started shouting, fuck you, we won't do what you told us, and started waving and saying hello and stuff, which I thought was cool as fuck.
I hope that's true. I hope that's true. That's amazing.
Well, as a recording artist,
yes.
How important have record stores been for you?
I think they've kind of kept us, I think they've kept not only us but a lot of bands alive, really. These things never truly die out, and they're a real staple. I mean, we've done two records and two kind of album campaigns, and you know, that's what the order of the day is for that first album release week. It's like you play like three different records shops a day, and and there's just these amazing communities around them. And I actually remember when we first started the band, I worked at Oxfam Music in Reading just as like just weekends kind of volunteering, and the community, they're like real hubs for music fans and people who want to find bootlegs by the fall and get really into that kind of stuff, and it's people who love music that they want to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and I love that, and I think for that reason they won't die.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I just want to pick up on asking you about how confident you were growing up.
Right.
And with that, I'm going to ask that you've chosen a very competitive industry to forge a successful career in. Are you driven?
Yeah. massively, and more so now than ever, because I think actually turning 27 was a lot more, was a much more reflective time than I thought it would be. It was back in November, and it was just at a time where you kind of take stock. I think the pandemic's definitely helped us all take stock of what we've done in our lives up to this point. And, you know, a lot of conversations with friends, family, and the boys, at the band especially, it's kind of like, okay, we've done X, Y, and Z, but what do we really want to do moving forward? Who do we want to be? What does that album sound like? What does that band look like? And, you know, it's kind of, and it's been nice that it's been so creative, Lev, and those kind of decisions. And yeah, I'm definitely driven because you want to do something great, because we're in we've got an opportunity to make something that's worthwhile and can connect with people. You know, we've got an amazing fan base, and really over the last 18 months, it's kind of been really put into focus how important they are to us and how they've become part of what we do and who we are, that kind of community that has built around the music that we've made. And it's almost just taking stock of like, okay, that's amazing. Can we take it even further? And so, yeah, I guess more driven than ever, actually. But always been driven, but I don't know. Now we know who we are a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we've got a bit of experience. We can kind of focus and channel that drive. You know, like, what's not worth wasting your energy on a bit more now. And you know what you need to put everything into. And I think it's a lot of, like, taking out the worry about stuff that's out of your control and essentially kind of trivial. And just putting everything, every atom of your being, into the things that actually matter, which is your output. And I do think, just one final word on being driven, I think creativity and stuff, really, I know that artists have a, like, kind of renaissance. There's definitely historical precedent for whoever kind of putting out great albums near the end of their career. But I'm 27 now. The boys, we've been in bands since, for the last 10 years. Like, we've only really got a small window in which to put our stamp on the world and to do the music that can be our legacy. So if that's not a motivation to make amazing music, then what is?
Absolutely. And I think that, to touch on what you said there about taking stock of what's important and some of the things that you needn't waste your time with anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, hopefully something that's happened universally. I think, you know, I hope that, you know, in whatever, you know, you do, you know, day to day, that has impacted on you, and you'll come out of this situation with a more concise focus. And I'm really interested to see the fruits of that mindset over the next few years, to see what, you know, how we all come out of this, and to see, you know, fingers crossed, we all come out, you know, more focused and better people. Be interesting. Be really interesting to see. Track 5, going to move you forward a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about clubbing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to ask you for the song that soundtracked some of your clubbing.
My Love by Route 94, I think featuring Jess Glynn. She does the vocals on that track.
That's right.
Reading had and probably still has a massive house music scene, big. And I kind of got swept up in that when I left secondary school. It was just before, a few years before the band really kind of became a thing. Did the classic leave school, 18-year-old, 19-year-old, kind of working out who I am and what I'm doing. And the thing to do in Reading at the time was house music. And everything around that. There was a night called Cubed that ran monthly. It was run by this guy called Pete Wheeler. And
it was a huge night.
Yeah, right. And yeah, Pete Wheeler and Chris Wells. And they did an amazing job at just having this really, like, I don't know, just it was the place to be. Reading, it felt like it had a real scene, and it was based around house music. There was a venue called Sub 89 that we'd go to, and we would stay up all night, and we would have breakfast in a place called Munchies, which is like a proper caf, like, and have like a fry up and watch people go to work at like 8 a.m. because we'd been up all night. Oh, it was amazing. It was a really amazing time of my life. Now I can look back on and Route 94. We saw him at Hannah Wants, an amazing DJ, Scream, yeah. MK. Like it was a great time. It was a great time.
What did you want from a nightclub?
Well, there was that sense of community. It was just like it was just the place to be, and I wanted to fit in, and there's pros and cons to that, because you almost develop a group of friends, wider friends. Obviously, there was a core of friends I would go with all the time, and that was great, but there was this wider friends that you think are your friends, but they're not really, because you're basically only connected via one thing.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the cons of it, but then but the pros of it was just, I mean, it's where you know, it's where girls went, so we kind of just followed that, and as 18 and 19 year old boys, 20 year old boys do, and
absolutely.
But it was it was just a really fun time. Loved it.
Well, that's good, because we're staying there for track 6, and I'm going to ask you for a favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Berkshire, the royal county, just to let everyone know who's listening. It's the only royal county, because okay. We have Windsor. Where are you about? Where are you based? Sorry,
Essex,
fantastic.
Also, definitely not royal.
A mighty home county.
Again, I think it's more tapping into the thing you touched upon at the beginning, where we're kind of too far out of London to kind of not really can, and
sure.
A little bit kind of lost suburb.
Yeah, it is that. I'm sure I'd recognise a lot of Essex as similar to Berkshire, really. I think
that encourages drive. That, yes. I think, drives lots of artists hugely.
Yeah, you want to see the world. Mm. I knew I wanted to see the world. My current life goal is to feel like I've squeezed every drop out of the flannel of life. That's how
absolutely.
I feel. And that means absolutely. Getting out of Reading. And it would be so weird. It'd be so weird when we'd come back from Japan or Australia and I was still living in Reading, and it would just be, and I'd maybe stay with my parents for a couple of nights, and I'd be back in the Calcot, which is the kind of neighborhood they're from. The Sainsbury's in Calcot, and like a few days before I'd been playing a festival, Fuji Rock in Japan. It was such whiplash. But yeah, anyways, a lot of music has come from Berkshire. More than people think. Mike Oldfield, Tubular Bells, he's a Reading artist. Mm-hmm. But there's also been like a really subtle slew of acts coming out. Sundara Karma, Matt Maltese is Reading based. There's a band called Eureka Spacek. Historically, a shoegaze band called Chapter House.
If you want to talk Chapter House, let's do it, because Pearl by Chapter House.
Yes, that's the record.
One of the most. I mean, that's an anthem in my club, and what a record that is.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Does It Offend You? Yeah, they're a great Reading band.
Big time. They were didn't they have some music on the Inbetweeners or something like that?
They did.
Morning Runner as well. We had there's loads of bands.
Morning Runner. God, I've not heard that name for a few years.
Yeah, this is serious, man. This is Reading, Berkshire. Wow. But I'm going to pick a song called Chemicals. It's a new one by an artist called S.G. Lewis. Sam is an amazingly talented guy. He's kind of like a producer, songwriter, DJ. He kind of started out at a similar time as us. We had the same tour manager for a little while, so we were kind of kept tabs on what he was doing. Very, very different kind of music to what the Amazons make. But a really lovely dude, and it's been so good to see him grow as an artist and achieve incredible things. He collaborates with Nile Rodgers on his new record. He's done, I think he had a couple of songwriting credits on the new Dua Lipa record.
Wow.
yeah, he's one to watch for the future. He's got something, a huge future ahead of him. But yeah, an amazing artist and one that we in the Amazons, we admire him big time.
Okay, last track. And this is where you get to hype something new, turn someone on to something that they've not listened to. And for track 7, I'm going to ask you, please, for a song that many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
This song's kind of been one of the big, one of the songs that's really soundtracked the last 18 months for me. It's called Find Someone Like You, and the artist is Snow Allegra. It's spelled Snohaallegra. It's kind of a very interesting name, and a really amazing artist. It's really soulful, and very, 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 very beautiful. And my girlfriend sent it to me. She kind of came across it, and it just kind of, you know, when people send you a song and they're actually sending you a message,
yeah,
you know, and it's been difficult kind of navigating this relationship that I've been in. It's extremely long distance. We've been together a few years, but the last 18 months, as you can imagine, have been extremely difficult. So it was just nice to have a song that kind of we can share and have like a mutual love for. And it feels like, yeah. And it's definitely for anyone who's, you know, missed someone over the last 18 months. I think that's something that's kind of has been one of the stories of this last 18 months. How do you navigate loving someone when they're not physically there, whether they've passed on or whether they're maybe an hour away, but you can't see them because of lockdown. And I think that story, personally, with me and my girlfriend, is probably what has shaped the Amazons record. I feel like there's a story to be told there, and I think that's kind of one of the things that binds this new record together, and maybe it'll resonate with people. But yeah, this is a beautiful song, and I hope people enjoy it.
Well, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast with all of the songs that we've spoken about today.
Great.
So people can go and listen to everything. In regards to the fact that we're about to find ourselves in a country where there's no restrictions and all of the things that you love doing, you'll be able to do again. What are you looking forward to personally from the rest of this year, and what's going to be happening professionally?
Okay, so I'm looking forward to playing the festivals that have hung on. We're playing 110 Above Festival in August, and we're playing another one called Soulfest, which is up in Cumbria. So I think it's quite a optimistic name, and as in soul, as in S-O-L, son. Yeah. And but I don't care, rain or shine, we'll still be on cloud 9. I think, going to gigs, playing gigs, just energy and community. I was fortunate enough to go to the semi-final at Wembley when England played. And it was the first time I'd seen that many people in one place and singing the same stuff. And it was just, was the natural high was incredible. I couldn't get to sleep for hours when I got home, eventually got home. And we're going to record a record. We've nearly finished writing it, and we're going to record that by the end of the year. And we're excited about that. We're going on tour. With Royal Blood across Europe and the UK in March. All systems go. Just I'm excited to emerge in this new kind of life.
Absolutely.
Timmy?
And if people want to kind of keep up to speed with everything that you've got coming up, where's the best place to follow what you're up to?
Well, it's our socials, really. Instagram, Twitter. We've got a Twitch channel called Zons TV, where our guitarist and bassist hang out and play games and things like that. So that's really what the pandemic has made us resort to. And we've just started our own radio show on Spotify, okay. Exclusive to Spotify. It's called Zons FM. And we basically do what we're doing right now.
Wonderful.
We nicked this and we've made it our own. So thank you very much for that.
Wankers. So what can people expect then from that? Let's talk more about that.
Yeah, Zons FM, it's basically, it's us for, we want to kind of open the doors a little bit and bring people into our world. And that means, you know, it's us for hanging out. We share stories. We play a lot of music. Each episode has like a kind of loose theme. So we've put out two episodes so far. One's called Diamonds in the Rough, where we basically talk through the music that we've kind of unearthed over the last 18 months through, you know, a lot of digging in the empty hours. And then there's another one that we released called It's Not Me, It's You, which is like our exploration of music's greatest break of anthems. And then we've got special guests coming in as well, but they're kind of guests. I say guests, special guests, but really we're just getting our pals on. And people we've met along the way, whether they're fellow artists that we've toured with or, you know, people that we've worked with. I won't give away too much, but we've got that on the go. It's been so much fun. And it's just great to give people something whilst we're working on music.
Absolutely. Well, I'll put the link to that within the bio of episode as well, so people can go and
thank you.
Check that out as well. Matt, it's been an absolute delight talking records with you, mate. Thank you so much.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, thanks very much for having me, man. Appreciate it.
There you go. Lovely chat with Matt. Really, really enjoyed that. I was sitting there chugging coffee. I think Matt was kind of, you know, worried about coming across like he was a bit tired at the beginning. I thought he was really concise and had beautiful explanations for his song tracks, and I will never look at Barbara O'Reilly the same again. Really, really interesting take on that from him, which I thought was beautiful. And hopefully by now he's gone and watched the UFC intro that I told him to watch, and do it because it's glorious. It'll fire you up. Okay. As mentioned at the beginning, why not check out the back catalogue now and go and get stuck into 300 or so episodes with all your favourite indie or rock musicians, actors, producers, DJs. Just go have a rummage, because there's a lot and there's some amazing chats to be listened to. I'm back next time. In the meantime, just be excellent to each other and stay safe. Much love. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.